Jesus, I ask that you would indeed break our hearts for what breaks yours. I pray that since you are patient, that you want none to perish and all to come to repentance and belief and faith in Jesus Christ. I ask that you would use this body to do that for your glory, God. I pray that the things that will be said today, Holy Spirit, fall fresh upon us. Give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Thank you. You are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So last week, Lance was talking about evangelism, how it is every single person's responsibility in Jesus Christ to go out and proclaim the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. To proclaim it to the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And at the end, Jesus makes a promise to us. And he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that is a promise that we take with us when we go and evangelize, that God walks with us. As a matter of fact, over 81 times in Scripture, God tells us that he will never leave us, that he will walk with us. He tells us 365 different times to not be afraid. To not be afraid that he is the one that goes above and beyond. God makes plenty of promises that the death of his son, the resurrection of his son, the blood that was shed on the cross, that pays for our sins, that one day we would be with him in heaven, and here on earth we are rejoined with him in union, the union that was broken by sin, our sin. God restores these, and these are wonderful promises. When I read the scriptures, I'm like, oh God, this is so good. You have promised us this, and I am excited about what you have promised. And so this week, God laid on my heart Matthew 24, 9 through 11. And it says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Let's stop right there for a second. Jesus, in Matthew 24, is speaking to his disciples about things that are coming. And when I read this, God is promising that these things will come to pass. So my question is, are all of God's promises good? Certainly, in my heart, this is a little bit scary, even, to think about what this is coming. But it is indeed a promise. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, in fact, all who want to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. What does that look like? Let's define a little bit what persecution might look like. So here, we have a map of the known world, and the different colored boxes are levels of persecution in these countries. So, a little bit extreme would probably mean they would be put to death for knowing Jesus, all the way down to possibly being put in jail, possibly being beaten for their faith in Jesus. And just because the United States of America doesn't have a color at this point in time, that doesn't mean that we still do not receive persecution in some way, shape, or form. So no, we're not being put in jail right now. No, I don't really have to worry about being put to death. But our enemy stirs up things, and if you've ever had a friendship that has been lost, or relationships that have been broken because you know Jesus, and now that person hates you even because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Those type of things are what we're looking at. The church grows in persecution. Over the years, we have seen that when God's church is persecuted, it blossoms, it grows. And so I have come to think that persecution, depending, is not a bad thing. It is possibly even a muscle in our Christian faith that we haven't exercised yet. Maybe it's a very important muscle, a muscle that we need to flex, because when I read in Acts 5 that the apostles did not listen to the Sanhedrin after being told to stop preaching Jesus, they still continued to preach Jesus, and they were flogged because of it. And it says that the apostles rejoiced because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for Jesus Christ. I'm not really sure what that looks like in my own life right now. And this has challenged me greatly in my faith this week. They rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. That is amazing. When I look at this, I have to look also then at the other promises that God also has. When he says that you will go and evangelize to the world, he says that I will be with you. I won't leave you. He won't leave us in this either. In this promise, God walks with us. And to be able to do some of these things, to rejoice in persecution, is not an act of my flesh. That is an act of God working through us. That is an act of the Holy Spirit speaking and moving and creating in us what we need to say, yes, Jesus, in your name, I will do this. You are worth being persecuted for. It also says that you will be handed over to be persecuted. So who is doing the handing over? Well, it says that many will betray the faith, they will hate each other, and they will turn away. People who you know, even during these times, may be the exact people who betray. And that creates division. That creates a lack of trust in us, with family members, with our friends, to not know who would be betraying us. But God is faithful. It also says that many false prophets at this time will appear and deceive many people. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached in every single church here in America? No. No, and that breaks my heart to say that, but no. Especially when we do hear things about God wants you to be rich. He wants you to have massive worldly possessions. They will lead people astray. And so I wanted to know what exactly a false prophet is. So I looked at the scriptures and I found 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And it says, "My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. "This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you have heard was coming." Well, here he is, sooner than we thought. "My dear children, you come from God and belong to God. You have already won the victory over these false teachers. For the spirit that is in you is far stronger than anything in the world." That is a promise, that the Spirit of God is stronger. The one who lives in you is stronger than he who is in the world. So even in the midst of possible persecution, greater is your God who will be with you always, never leave you. And he will enable us to stand up when persecution comes. So those were some promises. And verse 12 brings us a warning. Jesus says, "Because of the increased wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." Now, I can look around and say, yes, love is lacking. Here we go. Love is lacking in many of the places in the United States and around the world. People are losing affections for one another. There is hatred, there is despair. And this thing is going to drive me crazy. Because of wickedness, the most of people will grow cold. Jesus isn't just referring, though, to the world. He is also referring to his church, that there is coming a thinning of the herd, for lack of better terms. The love of most will grow cold, and why? I ask myself, why would love grow cold? And if we're being suspicious of one another, if, you know, we only have love that exhibits warm, fuzzy feelings, that love will not stand in persecution in times of that. Steadfast love of God that lives in a person's heart through the Holy Spirit will enable us to love in circumstances that most of the time you wouldn't even, how do I love in this circumstance? How in the world should I love other people when they persecute me? But Jesus says in Matthew 5, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you. During this time, if you're not doing that, you need to check and examine your heart. The sum of the law and the prophets, Jesus says, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then from that love that we get through Jesus, we love our neighbor as ourself. And so the fact that that love may grow cold, that is a warning to check our hearts. Where are our hearts today when the persecution hasn't even really started yet in this country? Where is your heart today? And Linda gave us an absolutely wonderful tool to use. So right out here, there is the temperature gauge. What temperature is your outreach? And I would call you, what temperature is your heart? Lance said, if we love Jesus, right? Jesus needs to do a work in our heart that we would then love the lost. We would then call to them, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father outside of Jesus. Jesus is the only way. And he is reconciling a world to himself. How is he reconciling this world? By using his people. He chooses to use us to bring everybody to Jesus. And since this is not something that can be done just from us going around and even proclaiming gospel because we think it's the right thing to do, Jesus reminds us that if we are not attached to the vine, which is him, if we are not attached to that, we won't be able to do it. because apart from God, we can do nothing. God is the one who enables our hearts to move past these places and to love even in circumstances that seem completely outrageous. He gives us a hope in the last two verses. Jesus says, "But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." The one who stands firm will be saved. Again, the temperature gauge. Again, where are our hearts right now? And it is not wrong to go to God and quietly hold out your hands and say, "God, I don't know about this. This scares me right now. I don't know what this looks like. I'm a little nervous." That's okay, because for all those who are in Jesus, we are not condemned. God will work in our hearts when we want him and allow him to do so, to move and to create love in pockets and places in us that we had no idea existed. That muscle would then be flexed, that we can do what he asked, to stand firm, and he promises that we will be saved. And that may not include this life. That may not include this life. But when I look to what comes next, when I look to the fact that Jesus is it, that is my connection, that yes, when I die, my body will pass and my soul will go with God into heaven. And that is a beautiful promise, that we will be saved. It says that this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In the Christian Missionary Alliance, this is a pretty big verse. This is one of our verses that we stand on for evangelism. And we are looking at those maps. Persecution. Where is it that the gospel still needs to be preached in this world? Where is it that we want to go? Because we want Jesus to come. We long for Jesus to come in our hearts. We long for it. "Oh God, I see the brokenness of this world, and this is not my home. I long to go and to be with Jesus." There is unfortunately no program, no direct Bible study that I can recommend to you that is just magically going to make all this completely okay with us. God gave me something yesterday that kind of helped me understand this a little bit more. He asked me, "Would you die for your children?" Yes, I would. I would die for my children. I love my children. I would gladly, if the circumstances came down to it, love them in such a way I would give myself in their place. I would give myself for them. It's not even a question. I would just do it. And Jesus says, he didn't go necessarily to the cross for any other reason but that he loves us. He loves our children. He loves us and says that, yes, I go to the cross that you would be restored in this relationship, that your love would be brought full, that the relationship that was broken by sin would now be restored. So now I love God, and through that, I love other people. To have a love that is so great within your soul that says, "Yes, Jesus, your name alone is worth dying for." If we are not there, then let us approach the throne of grace. Let us approach God and say, "God, I need this right now. This is something that I've not really thought about. I need this. Please show me what it is that you want me to do and what your people to do." Because Jesus didn't die for a creed. He didn't die for a set of principles. He died because it was the only way to reconcile us back to God. That's it. And when I have listened to stories and read books about people in other countries who have been martyred, they're almost unbelievable at times. I have read that people have rejoiced and sang hymns to Jesus as they died. In the midst of fire and whatever else they were going through, they sang to Jesus because they were already there. To love God that much. God, enable us in our hearts to love you that much. Enable us to love this microphone. Enable us to do these things because we can't do them of ourselves. I can't muster the courage inside of me that says, yes, I am going to. It will fail. We will be one of the people who walks away. And God doesn't want that for any of us. He wants us to stand firm. As a matter of fact, he even tells us that in James chapter 1 and Revelation 2, there is a crown of life that he gives to those who persevere under trials. Jesus references this crown when he tells the church in Samaria, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. God, fortify your love in us. Fortify that. Give us a love that will endure, not one that is washed with the waves. Give us a love that endures all things. For his glory, because he has done everything, he will still reward us with the crown of life. Are all of God's promises good? Yes. Yes, they are. God is good. Jesus says that. There's no other good but God. Okay, I'm just going to hold it. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all of God's people, now and forever. Amen.